The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Greetings and welcome to today's episode of Climate Matters. I'm Lindsay Wood, Director of Climate Strategy Company Resilience Limited, and Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Well, we've got today another interview with Daniela Ramirez, who's out in Brazil for COP30. It's a fascinating interview. In fact, it's the first of a double interview, and so I do hope you enjoy it. I got a great deal out of the chat with Daniela. Let's get into it. Well, it's wonderful to welcome back to the show Daniela Ramirez. You may remember a few weeks ago we had Daniela in the lead-up to COP30 talking to us from Fortaleza, where she was staying. She is now, I think you're in Belém at the moment, Daniela, are you?
I am actually in Rio de Janeiro. I'm flying to Belém on Saturday.
Oh, do you? Thank you for that. So that's a roundabout way of welcoming you to the show from Rio de Janeiro.
Yes.
Daniela, you may
Thank
recall
you.
As a senior climate change advisor with the Nelson Council, she's on a self-funded trip to COP30. But please note that these are her personal views. She's not representing the council. So now I will say welcome, Daniela, again. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the invite.
You've given me some wonderful suggested topics for us because, of course, you know what's happening there far better than I do. But I hope you're happy that I just shared, tell our listeners about the two photos you've just shared with me this morning.
Sure. I'm pretty excited about it.
Oh, yes. Well, why don't you tell the listeners about the photos that you sent and how they came about? It was terrific.
I was in an event in Rio de Janeiro where Jacinda Ardern was there and Cristiana Figueres and Prince Williams and many other people there. And I knew that I was going to be there in the same place with them. So what I did, I bought Jacinda's book in Portuguese, which was released just 3 days ago. And I approached her for her to sign my book and another book that I wanted to give away to a colleague here in Brazil. And I took a photo with her. And this is a very cool story because I didn't see Jacinda first, and who I saw first was Cristiana. So I approached her. She's from Costa Rica, so she speaks Spanish. So I tell her I'm from Chile, but I'm living in New Zealand for 20 years, and blah blah blah. And we were talking, and she's like, "Oh, have you met Jacinda?" And I said, "I haven't seen her around." And she's like, "Come with me." So she took me to introduce me to Jacinda. And I'm like, "I can't believe this. She is introducing me to Jacinda." So here I am being introduced to Jacinda by Cristiana Figueres. I'm like, oh my God.
How cool is that? That's amazing.
I know. Jacinda recognized my Ponamu that I'm wearing. She was lovely as usual. She signed the book. She was super busy. And then it was just a few minutes because I was using actually Prince William's seat. So you could tell that the bodyguards were not really happy. So I moved away quickly and it was great.
Oh, what a cool story. That's amazing, Daniela. And I have to say, looking at the photos, you look completely in your element there. So well done you. That's terrific. Can you please just round that out by saying what was the event that you were at?
Yes, sure. So this is the Earthshoot Prize that was held in Rio de Janeiro. And this is an initiative run, the chair of this program is actually Cristiana Figueres. And they do have five categories for a prize. It's £1 million for the prize and is for actions. So they are looking, it's a worldwide program. They are looking for projects that can have an impact. And the categories are like in the protect and restore nature, clean our air, revive our oceans, waste free and fix our climate. So I am one of the expert advisors that for next year I will be looking for all the applications that we get. I was discussing
Wonderful.
with advisors that have done the work this year, and they say that they received like 100 applications to mark. So it's a very thorough system how they screen the applications to get to this point where I was, and I was part also of the award ceremony that was very fancy, very high level. The Brazilians really know how to put a show, so it was great.
Wonderful. What a cool event. I love the idea of you sitting in Prince William's seat and having to move out of to let him sit there. Thank you so much. Well, we better roll into the questions, I suppose. My
Sure.
first question was going to be, please tell us about the Belém vibe that you've got so far. But of course, you're not in Belém. So I think, can I widen that and just invite you to just give us bit of your intuitive take on how the build-up to COP and everything is ramping up.
So even though I'm not in Belém, I was in another event that was running at the same time that this other Earth Shot Prize, which was the Local Leaders Forum that was run as a formal pre-COP30 event in Rio. So many people that will attend COP was there in that event. So we hear from people from different countries and cities, and this was mainly mayors from everywhere, from all the cities in Brazil, but I don't know, from Paris, from US, from Australia. So the vibe and the narrative that we heard there was that there is a shift away from negotiations that was previous COPs, and they are they say that we should expect in COP30 more actions. So they want to
Actions,
move
was
away
that?
from negotiations and just actions. And because of that, because it's actions, they have realized that local government is an important part because we are the ones that implement the actions.
Yes,
So I thought
totally.
that that was quite interesting. I usually hear when I explain people that I work in the local government and that I am attending COP, they are like, "Why do you are you attending that? That's like at the national level discussion. It's nothing to do with local government." But this is changing. It's an empowerment now to local government that definitely is there. Actually, the delegation from Australia, they were specifically Adelaide mayors and surrounding neighbors. They were there lobbying and advocating to be the host country for the
Yes.
COP31. They are actually competing against Turkey to host the COP31. And the idea is that they will have, in this COP, they will have 2 days dedicated to local government. And in the COP31, there will be more days. They are thinking like 1 week dedicated to local governments. So we are expecting in the green zone, which is the zone that it will be businesses and NGOs and not like non-negotiations. There will be many countries with their or consultants with their pavilions and showcasing what they have done, the actions that they have done themselves. Many people that were most of the people that I met in the Local Leaders Forum here in Rio will travel to Belém. So it was like, see you in a couple of weeks, sort of. So yeah.
Right. Oh, that's so interesting. And of course, I'm already going to go off script, Daniela, because other questions come to mind. When
Sure.
you talk about the focus coming back on local government, which is to me very obvious, and it may well be to you as well. But my mind then went into the question of the C40 organization that links together cities and local government and climate action. Has C40 got a presence at in Brazil at Belém?
Well, they were the ones that organized this local leaders forum. These all these
Okay, good.
cities, all these cities that were together, are part of this networking of councils. C40 is amazing. I knew them from my work in Sydney. I don't currently work with them, but they have such a great high level resources for local government. They have platforms, training. Their presence is more is way higher in developing countries like South American countries, but they also work with countries like US or Paris or more wealthy countries. And they are amazing. There were like 100 representatives of C40 in the events from everywhere, from UK, from Brazil. They are very, everyone speak very well of them about the service that they provide.
That's
It's a
so
great
good.
organization.
Am I right in saying that Auckland is a member of C40?
That's correct. They are the only New Zealand local government part of C40, yes.
Maybe because it's not very well known in New Zealand. Do you feel in a position, Daniela, to elaborate a little bit on what C40 is, how the membership works, and for example, could Nelson join? I suspect not, but maybe it could.
Well, I was thinking about it and I can't remember how the membership works. I think it's probably with a fee, of course. I can't remember. I can't really speak about that. But yes, I will definitely be keen to join, especially because all this networking, at the end of the day, is all about the networking and sharing with the cities that have done the work already. It's like being able to contact the guys. Today, I was talking to people in US, in Portland. They have done wonderful jobs, wonderful projects, wonderful initiatives, and so they share what they have done with me, and that's the powerful connection that C40 provides. The work that I've been doing with Fortaleza Council as well, I've noticed how strong C40 supports them. They provide a platform for them to do the carbon footprint emissions, for example, for the city. They provide leadership training. They provide another platform for projections of greenhouse gas emissions, provide for a training for the waste people. It's amazing. It's definitely something that I'm going to consider when I'm back.
So interesting because I can't escape the feeling from my own experience in Nelson, but there's a feeling that every council is almost reinventing the wheel, as you know. I've been involved in developing a tool to help plot how Nelson might decarbonize. And I can't help thinking that there are probably on C40, there are resources that would cover that ground much better than I ever could.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's interesting that you mentioned that because I was thinking with the project that I've been working in Nelson for the community footprint, where we are 19 councils that we got together
Yes.
to standardize and to get this platform. So C40 already have it, and they are giving it as part of the membership to other councils. So yeah, it's all about the concept of sharing information and helping each other.
And it seems in the context of the climate, the compelling pressure to do stuff with climate, it seems such a good opportunity, especially for smaller councils like Nelson, who maybe can't foot it with full subscriptions. If only there was a way of having a junior membership sort of category where you could still access the resources, even if your in contribution was relatively small. Oh, wow. Well, I look forward. I mean, you're just going into the biggest part of the whole event. So I look forward to hearing what you have to say about that coming out of there. I suppose we better
Sure.
roll on. Oh, just one other thought that came to me. When you were talking, you're talking about Adelaide bidding for the C30 COP31. It
Yes.
made me think a bit like the Olympics, where different countries bid to host the next Olympics. And it seems, what would motivate, you may not know this, I don't know, but what do you think would motivate a city like Adelaide to want to host COP31? Have you thoughts on that, Daniela?
So I spoke with the mayor of Adelaide, and they are
Right.
very keen to get 15,000 people, which is the expected number of people that usually arrives to these conferences. And is they see as a way to showcase the city as a opportunity in terms of economy for the businesses, for accommodation. And that's exactly what Belén is taking advantage of now. With the difference is that Belén doesn't have the amount of accommodation needed, so they are looking for or hoping that people put their houses in Airbnb and share the rooms and rent the rooms. Adelaide will of course have the capacity. But it seems that being the host will bring economic benefits as well, that worldwide showcase of your projects.
It's interesting. So it's not that Adelaide is putting itself out as a global climate leader. They just see this as a, into some degree, as a commercial opportunity. And
That's right.
there's a certain paradox in my head on that. Thank you for that. Is there anything else you want to say about the Earthshot Prize before we move on?
I thought that was very interesting that three local governments were one of the finalists in one particular category. I would have thought that these type of awards for the amount of money which is we are talking, which is £1 million, would be more for like community or NGOs, but they had no problem to give these to local governments. So the winner last night was Colombia, Bogota, for their electrification of the transport system. And I thought that
Wonderful.
was interesting. Make me think, it's like, maybe Nelson could apply for this next year.
That's exactly what my mind was running through as well. Oh, I can see us having a good conversation when we get back. And I rather like it that Bogota got an Earthship Prize award because I really rate that city and their former mayor, Enrico Peñalosa, he had the one, he transformed that city, didn't he? And he had that wonderful saying that an advanced city is not where the poor drive in cars, but where the wealthy ride in buses. So go Bogota. Yeah,
There you go.
wonderful. Well, let's roll on. Thank you for that. You've talked about the bidding for the next COP31, and that will be decided, I presume. Is that decided at this coming COP or is it decided
It
afterwards?
is. It will be decided at the end of November, at the end of the COP. So the COP will finish on the 21st, 22nd. So around
Right.
those dates, we should be hearing from that. It seems that
Brilliant.
they have to have majority in the vote, and if the majority is not achieved, they will go back and get the host country in Germany, in Bonn, which is where the United Nations UNFCCC is located. So, yeah.
Well, wait for that decision with interest. Thank you. A couple of other things I'd like to touch base on before we get into the detail of local government. One is you talked in when we started this about a shift in the mood of COP30 away from negotiation and discussion to trying to pinpoint actions. Is there any more you'd like to add to that, Daniela, at this point, or should we leave that until you're reporting back on the COP itself?
No, what I would like to say is that I feel like we as a local government are like mini labs where we can test and we can scale all these initiatives. So I was thinking, we do have public transport, we do deal with EV charging infrastructure, we do deal with renewable energy in many type of council buildings, libraries, swimming pools, commercial, residential. We do have energy, stationary energy that we want to switch to lower carbon sources of energy. We do have waste. We do have wastewater treatment plants, events, we run events, we have carbon sequestration. So we got it all. It's like different little companies that we have all the sources that you can imagine, all the initiatives, we can test them all. And I was thinking, oh my God, there is no other private company that can have all these amazing opportunities to test all the initiatives and actions that are already available. So I think that's what they realize, that the action that is needed starts for the cities. And it also it's been a lot of discussion about the sustainable procurement and the power that we have with our procurement, especially big cities like Paris or some European cities that they spend quite a lot, and they have big budgets. So they understood that they have the capacity to make a change.
That's so interesting. And the idea of all these cities being possible test beds or laboratories reinforces what you said when we were talking about C40, about the sharing of information, doesn't it? I mean, it's one thing to have a Nelson to be a test bed for something, but then we have to find a way of telling everybody else what we've found. This worked and this didn't work and so on. Is there any discussion
Exactly.
along those lines?
No, but that I can align the sharing of information with the keyword that has been used for this COP31, which is multidão.
I'm
And
glad you
that's
mentioned that.
and that's the it's an indigenous word that means
Can you
that
please say it again for listeners?
it's multidão.
Mutirao.
I'm just learning Portuguese, so I'm hoping I'm pronouncing it right. This is coming from the native tribes, and it's all about sharing and helping communities, and it's sort of an invitation from Brazil to all these different actors like governments, civil society, businesses, local governments, community, to contribute to this climate action and in a very coordinated way. So I'm very related to this topic, and I found the word so profound because I feel like connection is everything. It's just so easy to just go and get someone to explain you what works, what doesn't, and then you get even the connection with the funders, or the big banks that were in the summit. The connections were all there, and people were talking, talking about the projects, and the banks were there. They were like, okay, we want to offer to fund this project. So yeah, it's all about collaboration. So I think it was a very good word selected for this COP.
Well, there you have it from Daniela Ramirez. Mutirao is the word for this COP from Brazil. And just to put it a bit more in context, you heard Daniela refer to Cristiana Figueres when she was meeting Jacinda Ardern. For those that don't know, Cristiana Figueres was the leading light in developing the Paris Agreement back in 2015. She was the one that pulled it all together. So that's an incredible connection for Daniela to have. And Cristiana Figueres does a podcast called Outrage and Optimism, and we'll put a link in the show notes to the latest one where they actually discuss the Mutirao as a global Mutirao. Well, how cool was that to have that interview from someone engaged so passionately in what's happening in Brazil at the moment? And just so that you know, we'll have another one with Daniela next week. Then we've arranged for two more interviews with one of the colleagues that Daniela met at Fortaleza. That's the city that she was working in while she was over there. So we've got a lot of exciting interviews coming up. So, wasn't that just great? Thank you for joining us. And I do hope I enjoy your company again next week. And as always, kia kaha for the climate. Now, as you know, Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Fresh FM broadcasts in Blenheim on 88.9, to Eastern Golden Bay on 95.0, to the Nelson CBD on 107.2 and across the Nelson-Tasman region on 104.8. It's also streamed to the planet on freshfm.co.nz, and podcasts of Climate Matters and other locally produced shows are available through freshfm.co.nz.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.